football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner. So welcome to the CBFA podcast. My co-host Cole and seasonal co-host Kevin are here, as well as friend of the podcast and joining us for the first time in season three, Grant Stefanowski. How are you doing, Grant?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on. It's much appreciated.
It's really good to see you again and have you on the podcast. Always enjoy your input. Kevin and Cole, let's get right to it, because we got a lot to talk about this week. Kevin, you were at Encana?
Yep. So, I mean, after we sorted out the microphone issues, I was finally able to actually announce. The Lions Chiefs, I thought the Chiefs were actually going to, break the winless streak, because they were up 35-14 at one point, and they just stormed back and won, as you can see, 46-35.
Unbelievable.
I know. I mean, the Lions, Tanner Matthews was just unreal. He was scoring. He was carrying the ball like for big gains, and it was just an impressive, just stormed back to the lead, and absolutely crushing for the Chiefs, who really had a great first half. And they just, and you know, no wins yet this season, and they looked like they were going to win. So,
yeah, wow, what an amazing game that must have been. I'm sorry, I was at the other field.
You missed out.
Was it game of the year worthy though?
I can't say that because I didn't actually see the game that Cole praises so highly. But in terms of games that it's one of the best games I've seen. It and that Stampeders Bulldogs game, or even that Eagles Bulldogs game. There's been a few games where I was really happy I got to see those, because they were really good.
Good stuff. So, yeah, for the Chiefs in that one, quarterback James Garner scored an 80-yard kickoff return touchdown and added two more touchdown passes, as well as a run. And Chiefs running back Xander Alaric scored a 70-yard run and on a 15-yard pass. For the Lions, like you said, Tanner Matthews had the big day there. Also notable, slot back Tyler Zerowny had two touchdowns.
He was good too. Yeah, he was also really good. Ended up calling his name quite a few times. So,
I've been around Bantam football since, let's just say, before the 90s started. And that's a lot of points in a Bantam game. That had to be exciting for the crowd.
It was electric.
You try and put that many points in. Unfortunately, it's tough for defenses on the field, but for a fan-friendly game, that's an awful lot of points in a Bantam game on a combined basis, not just one team running away with it.
Yeah, I can't remember seeing such a high-scoring game personally. I've only been around for, 8 years or so. How about the other game there?
The other game... Well, the Eagles looked really good to start. I mean, they opened up with the 6-point the touchdown, but then the Raiders just kind of came back and just kind of ran away with it a bit. But still, it felt like it was pretty close. One of my notes here: the Eagles had some, Warner Denard. he's a really good player. Like, he was one of their standouts that game. Even though he didn't really get on the score sheet too often, he was making some big plays. So, unfortunately for the Eagles, the Raiders just kind of, I mean, they're a good team. So, but the Eagles put up a good fight.
The final score in that one was 38-6 for the Raiders, as they move to 5-1-1 in the standings. Ron and Thompson, quarterback for the Raiders, had two touchdowns on the ground, and he threw for two more. Ethan Peterson had those two touchdown catches, and Nixon Simpson added one more rush touchdown. The Eagles' touchdown was scored by Austin Deutsch on a 40-yard run.
And he was the player of the game for the Eagles, since Warner Denard was already player of the game. So
there you go. And over at Hellard Field, the first game that I was there for, Cole was there all day. It was a pretty good game. It was a defensive battle. It went kind of back and forth. The Colts scored, and then, you know, halftime, and then the Mavericks opened up the second half with a quick score, and then the Colts answered almost right away and pretty much cruised from there. Colts win that one 16-8.
I think the main takeaway from that game, and I was mentioning it to you actually during the following game, that the main issue in that game was the penalties that were costly, especially on the defensive side of things. Colts had, I think, two, if not three, interceptions that were called back because they had someone offside at the line. And I think they would have had two pick sixes as well on those, if I'm not mistaken. I might be remembering incorrectly.
No, I remember similar.
Yeah. So it was that game, and it was the following game, the Cowboys Stampeders, that we'll talk about in a second here. But yeah, both those games where it was just defenses just not holding their water, as coaches would say, and getting too antsy, and it ended up costing them dearly. I mean, it made for a more exciting game because it finished by one score.
Yeah.
Which we were expecting to have happen, but at the same time, it was.
Yeah, it's something the Colts are going to need to clean up before their game this Saturday up in Airdrie.
Yes, very, very important game for them up there.
Well, and I remember when I was lucky enough to be invited on season two here. We actually spoke about the Mavericks. The Mavericks were having a really tough year last year. And, you know, I give that staff a lot of credit. They have a very different team this year, and they compete in most games. And I think it's a big jump from where they were last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, it starts in their backfield. Ahmed El-Kayat had, you know, his ability to read the play and, you know, pick whether or not he's scrambling out for a 5-yard gain, or possibly even turning that into a 15-yard gain, or whether or not he's throwing that ball. It's a big difference maker for them in the backfield. And then Marzoff has just had an unreal season as well for the Colts.
Pretty weak. Like, every time we talk about the Colts, we hear that name. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So he ran for a touchdown in this one and threw another one to Nick Potts. Also notable for me in that one is I recognized Dave Hardy was doing a little scouting at that game.
I think he was watching it ahead of his game, which we have was Cowboys and Stampeders, was the last game of the day at Hellard. To me, what stood out, I think James will let you go into more detail, but for me, what stood out in this game was how well the Stampeders actually hung on in this game.
Yeah, I thought they played a pretty good game defensively and were able to stop the Cowboys on a number of different drives. I think only part of that could be really, you know, put on Cowboys backup QB Zach Arlane. He probably hasn't had a whole lot of reps in practice, but he started the game, and I thought the Stampeders did an admirable job of, you know, reading those pass plays and stopping those, they had a little more difficulty trying to stop the run. I thought that's where the Cowboys really excelled.
I think that Cowboy defense from the games I've seen, they're a strong defense. I think they're probably one of the stronger defenses out there with some good high-level veteran presence there. And they're going to be a tough team to run a lot of plays on. I mean, they have two linebackers that'll chase you sideline to sideline. That's hard to compete with.
The Cowboys are definitely like the team to beat this season because they're still undefeated. They're still perfect. So
that's unfortunately, well, not necessarily unfortunate, but that is the norm. They are the defending provincial one or Div 1 champions.
Yeah, they've got an excellent program.
Good feeder system.
Yeah, top to bottom.
But we also did see a fake punt in the game, which actually worked out pretty nicely.
Yeah, that was exciting.
And then the unfortunate thing was they didn't score on the drive. I think they ended up punting three plays later.
They did, yeah. And that punt turned into Ryan Shantufi 75-yard punt return touchdown.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Cowboys win another one, 24-0 over the Stamps. In the morning games, Grant, you were there for the first one. Wildcats 48 over the Rebels 0.
Yeah, I mean the Wildcats have a terrific program. They have for a long time, and this is taking nothing away from them, especially when you see they had six different scores. Gosh, I want the Rebels to score a TD and have some bright spots. One thing that's always stood out with the Rebels to me, and I said it to a couple people on the sidelines, week in and week out, they put up goose eggs. I've never seen a group of kids give 100% on every play. One kid got injured and was trying to get off the field because he didn't want to be down for a play and have to stay out for two. The refs actually stopped the play and made him go down. The absolute try in this group of young men and ladies is phenomenal. I truly enjoy watching them play. I think Amos and his coaching staff, I give them a ton of credit for keeping these kids going week in, week out. They have some really good athletes on the team. And, excuse me, unfortunately, they got down to the 1 yard line, and we thought for sure they were going to score the first TD since week one. And unfortunately, they fumbled the snap. It was too bad, but the try is there. As for the Wildcats, they had most of their backups in the second quarter. And really exciting to see some of these kids play football. Excellent athletes. Their young second string quarterback has an absolutely terrific throwing motion. He might need to grow 2 or 3 feet. but a really nice quarterback to watch. Smart kid. Made some nice throws. Did a good job with the count on the line. It was an enjoyable game to watch. Despite the score, there was a lot of bright spots there.
Well, that's one thing I've noticed too, is no matter what the scoreline is, the Rebels' parents as well, like, you know, they'll be down 48-0 start of the fourth quarter, and you'll hear them start piping up and "let's go Rebels" type thing, or, you know, and they're just cheering on the team, and there's no other team that does it week in, week out, regardless of the scoreline. Because, you know, a team will get down 14 points and their fans will get quiet unless something good happens type thing. But it's like every play, especially when it gets more lopsided, the Rebels' parents they seem to get louder.
Yeah, I think that whole organization deserves some kudos.
Oh, it really does.
Sorry to interrupt. I think Connor Bedard just scored.
No, he got the assist.
No? Oh. Okay. He's got his first point in the NHL. Woo!
Sorry, there you go. Damn. Wow. The first of many. And if we're still doing this podcast after he scores his last goal of his career.
Well, that's impressive.
That will be most impressive indeed.
Especially if I can do this from the old folks home.
Well, what's the Wi-Fi password?
Depends.
Moving on. The second game of the day, the last one we'll talk about today, also is one of the ones that caught me by surprise, because despite the scoreline, it would not correctly indicate how that game actually really went. So, scoreline-wise, Bulldogs won 47-6, but the Hilltoppers were actually in this game for a really, really long time, despite the scoreline being what it was. I don't necessarily know if it was fully expected, but...
Cole, how many players did the Hilltoppers have dressed?
I didn't count.
I walked past them.
Probably not very many.
Where I'm going with this is kind of like the Rebel story.
Yeah.
They've had a tough season, had to forfeit one. There was not a lot of kids dressed for that team as I walked by them. I love the fact they're out there playing. And if you thought it looked closer than the score would say, to me, I would think they played hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely, to me, it seemed like one of their best games probably since like week one or two. It got away from them late, because in the third quarter they had like back-to-back pick sixes, which didn't help things. It just made the scoreline worse than what it was. And then the Bulldogs tacked on another one afterwards. But yeah, like it really and truly, it looked like probably one of their best games since like week one or week two. There was also in the second quarter a really weird play that happened where the Bulldogs managed to strip the ball from the running back. The guy who recovered it proceeded to pick it up and start running the wrong direction down the field because they had like just switched quarters.
Oh no.
Then after about 5 yards, he fumbled the ball and the Hilltoppers recovered it. So it ended up being a first down for the Hilltoppers because of the double fumble.
That reminds me of a circus play in the Raiders Eagles game. I forgot to mention, the Raiders threw to an Eagles player. The Eagles player intercepted it, and then they fumbled it, and the Raiders recovered. So the Raiders had it back. I completely forgot to mention that. I mean, it's in my notes. So,
but I think the Hilltoppers, especially with playing the Chiefs, I think they have. That should be a good game for week eight. I think Hilltoppers, they can take the momentum from their game against the Bulldogs. But again, like we said, Chiefs almost won. You know, who knows what momentum they're going to have, you know, or how upset are they going to be about dropping that game?
Well, and that one, I don't expect it to be as high scoring as the Lions and the Chiefs were, but that one could be a one score game either way.
But the other thing is, how good are both those defenses?
Well, I guess we'll find out on Saturday morning. The Hilltoppers are going up against the Chiefs.
I think this schedule this week is the first week in a couple weeks where we could have three back-to-back close games, which that's actually exciting for me. I don't really see a blowout here. I think there's just going to be some good football played in the first three games. Arguably, even in the last three games, I think we have probably the best six matchups we've had all season.
Yeah, we kind of have an interesting morning. We have three morning games, which we don't usually have.
Right. So yeah, the schedule is all messed up for this Saturday. The morning game is the Hilltoppers at Chiefs. And then at 11, we've got three games that are happening all concurrently. Up in Airdrie at 11 a.m.
It's actually 11:30 for that one.
No, Actually, it's 11.
No, the Airdrie homecoming of chess is 11:30.
And we got an email. I switched it to, I got an email from Bill. And he said,
they keep
it's 11:30. And then he got an email from the coach. And he said, no, they got it wrong on their website. It's 11.
Yeah, good job.
Cole, why don't you get there at 10:45 just to be safe?
Oh, I'm doing the first game of the morning. I'm getting there at 8:30.
So, yeah, the Raiders are hosting the Colts. Raiders are 5-1-1. Colts are 6-1. So that should be a dandy. I can't wait to hear about it, Cole, next week. Also at 11 o'clock, we have the Lions and the Stampeders and the Rebels and Eagles.
I got to say, I hope what they're doing in Airdrie catches some fire and catches on. I think that's a cool idea to do 1 year Airdrie, Okotoks, Cochrane, Chestermere. What a neat experience. Just something different than...
Well, it's a massive festival that they've got going on because they're celebrating the fact that they're getting a new turf field up at the Genesis place up there.
Yeah, on the weekend.
So what they're doing is they're doing like a bunch of like the high schools are all playing, and so they're inviting all the Bantam teams and the Pee Wee teams, the flag and the nine aside, and just having a massive party about it. So they might do this every year, and I kind of hope they do.
I hope they do too. I think it's a great idea for football.
And in the 3 o'clock games, the 4-3 Bulldogs are taking on the 7-0 Cowboys. And the Wildcats at 6-0-1 are taking on the 3-4 Mavericks, whose 3-4 record really is. Those four losses were against the four best teams. So it's really hard to judge them.
That's 3-4 and 4-3 records should scare everybody.
That's a good team right there. All right. In other news, other updates going on here in the CBFA, we were talking about the City of Airdrie Homecoming Festival. And that's why we've got three concurrent games this Saturday. So two at Scholdice, one up in Airdrie, amongst all of the festival and the food trucks. And I am really jealous, Cole. I would love to have been up there and experienced that. It sounds like a really good time.
The main reason I was selfish and booked it for myself instead of asking around if anybody else wanted it was because I was asked to also do one of the high school games later that evening. So,
yeah, if you're going to be there anyways.
Yeah, it did make it so much easier just to say I can commit to both the Bantam and the high school and just do everything else on that day. So,
yeah. And like they say, if you can't get out of it, get into it.
Pretty much.
Elsewhere, we wanted to thank all of our teams and sponsors for raising $3,600 for the Canadian Cancer Society for the Pink Sock Initiative. So that was the most recent 2 weeks of action. We've seen everyone wearing the pink socks, and together $3,600 was raised for the CCS.
I think we ended up rounding that up.
Did we?
Yeah, I ended up announcing that where we ended up handing out the check, and I was told to increase my announcement off of what Bill initially had in the email.
Oh.
So I was told 4,000 on the day of.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the email. I do know what you're referring to with the 36. I initially announced that too, but wow. Even better, $4,000.
And in the other fundraising effort this past weekend, Gordy's Food Fight raised a total of $1,664, as well as a combined total of 11,393 items. And the winners of the pizza parties are the Stampeders and the Bulldogs. So congratulations to you guys, and well done in raising all that money and food for the Veterans Food Bank of Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, I walking past those boxes and seeing the amount of stuff in it, because I mean, I did a little bit of a filming project for school, and it was really early, so I mean, there were people coming by, but that afternoon, it's like, holy crap, they kept having to get out new boxes for some teams that just, they were filling them up like crazy. It was awesome to see.
So we also had a negative incident at the Raiders game.
Yeah, that was something. It really got on my nerves. Yeah, there was the one parent who, I mean, they've done this every week, really, where they kind of be a nuisance. But this week, a player was down, so everyone else was quiet, and then they blurted something out, and they were called out for it by another spectator, and I think one of the coaches for the Eagles. It was definitely like a very, it was infuriating because, because it was right, it was out of my viewpoint, but from what it sounded like, I thought that there was like a fight about to break out. I'm like, is there going to be like a fist fight or something? Because I mean, it was extremely tense. It's not necessary. It really is not.
No, yeah. It's really not. And it's a shame that it keeps happening, because it's giving, with it being the Raiders every single week, it's giving them such a bad rep.
Yeah, but I was informed that, yeah, that the this person's out of chances, one more chance and they will be banned. And
yeah.
So yeah.
Well, and with this game happening up in Airdrie, who knows what's gonna happen.
Yeah, so I mean
and I do say that because Colts parents, I know they're not the only ones, but Colts parents do get a little verbally towards the referees as well. Nowhere near as bad as the situation you guys saw last week with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Theirs I'm able to more poke fun at with our referees need help.
I love the rewrite.
I can slip that in there a bit with the Colts parents, but at the same time, like, it could be really interesting up at up in Airdrie this week with the two going at it.
Well, it's just the opposite of what we talked about with the Rebels parents, right?
Yeah.
Like, what a dichotomy of situations. One parent group supporting their kids in a game where really these boys are learning how to play this game. Some at a higher level than others, but not a lot of parity at this point. So to have it go the other way where you have parents just getting out of control, I don't think there's any room for it at this level of football.
So we've received, we as a league have received a number of email complaints about this person, mostly received in the last couple of days, but this isn't the first time we've had issues with this particular parent before. This has been ongoing all season, and like you said, they've been spoken to. The behavior pattern isn't changing. The conflict, I mean, it's okay to cheer, it's okay to be a fan, but when you are, you know, deriding children as pretending, or as, you know, saying that they're faking an injury, and then using obscene language on the coach and the opposing player's parents, you've got a problem and you need help.
Yeah,
you need to get help now.
The fact that this person really crossed the line when a player was down, like, that really was way overstepping.
On to a more cheery note, Gordy's play of the week.
What was the play of the week this week? Did you see that?
Was that the spin play or something?
No, it was a Chiefs. It was a Chiefs player that got it. It was at one of your games on in Canada.
Yeah, because I announced it. Yeah, it was Chiefs. I can't remember his name. Number 37.
Was it a small kid that picked up a punt and then got mowed by a Cowboys linebacker?
I'm fairly sure it was that one, yes.
Yeah, I was standing beside the Cowboys linebacker's mother as she watched the video.
Oh, dear.
I'll double check the social media just to see if they posted
it. He did let up a little bit, but it it looked worse than it was. But good on the young kid for popping right back up.
I'm going to have a look for that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Joseph Madol.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the small kid.
And we've got another 50-50 going for the Selects team. Last winner won $900. So it's been going up. Word's been getting out. Get your tickets.
Speaking of Selects, Grant, the main reason we had you on the podcast this week.
That's right.
Oh, getting ambushed.
Oh, yeah. Putting you right on the spot, right on the pressure cooker.
You know what? I'm excited to get to our tryouts in November. We started, I believe, November 5th with a two-day tryout, a very intense two-day trial where we take 80 hopefuls and knock it down to 30 that travel. Last year was, I feel, a good eye-opener for how we try and get across to players and parents the level of physicality they're going to witness down there. It's an aggressive game down there. We've had very successful years down there, but it is it's a different level. And what excites me about the games I've seen this year is we brought a couple grade eights with us last year who are both having pretty phenomenal seasons in grade nine this year. And, you know, one was extremely physical and just got more physical this year. So I'm excited by the talent I see in the league this year. I feel it's one of the better groups we're going to have to choose from. I think there's some terrific athletes in our league this year, and you know, it's just them developing as they get older. So really excited to get to camp and see how we create this team of 30.
For someone who's new and looking to crack the select team, because I know you guys already have your list of ones that are watching, because you guys get sent those by the teams. But for someone who's on that list that's looking to crack that team for the first time, what are you guys looking for?
Physicality. If you want to stand out, stand out. The best way I can describe it is we played Alaska our first game last year. And the first hit of the game, an Alaska player came in horizontally about 2.5 feet off the ground and hit our running back right in the chest. It was violent, it was vicious, and it was fair. But that's an eye-opener. We don't see the speed of hits that we do in the CBFA. It's much faster. And you're not just getting hit by one linebacker if you're running back. You're getting hit by three of them at the same time. And they're all coming in full speed. So if it's your first crack at this, be versatile and be physical. Because it is a select team. It's not an all-star team. We take the 30 best athletes. Doesn't matter what position. We take the 30 best athletes. We'll take a running back or a quarterback and we'll make him a wide receiver. We'll take a smaller but fast linebacker and make him a DB or a strong safety. It's whoever goes in with a bit of that reckless abandon and uses their head and just attacks those tryouts. Because again, it's 2 days. It's 2 days of a lot of movement. Every player is being watched by 3 to 4 coaches. We get a good look at them, and we don't miss a lot of plays. So it's a tough team to crack. And it's, you know, I think it's a privilege to be selected, because there's 80 selected out of 550 kids in the league. So number one, you've done a great job getting selected. But we can only travel with 30.
Well, thank you, Grant. I think that brings some insight that I don't think a lot of us had before, especially since a lot of us don't
sure, really deal with sure, selection. I sure much. Didn't. I certainly did not.
Bring this beautiful bearded podcast on the road, and why don't you sit up in the booth at actually we're in the dome, thankfully. Set up in a corner of the dome, and you will see an intense 2-day tryout.
Right on. That'll do it for this week. So thanks again for listening. And if you're in Airdrie this Saturday, make sure you take in the homecoming festival and watch some football.
Bring the announcer at large double-double from Tim's. I mean, what?
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime Players of the Game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles online at www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com or in person at 1720 Barlow Trail Southwest. And game day wouldn't be the same if not for Superfan Snacks. They're located near the plaza area of Schold Ice Park. Superfan Snacks proudly supports minor football at every level. Find them on Facebook. Thank you for listening. Thank you.